Hello, everyone. We are officially kicking off season 7 of the Mood Board podcast. It's our fall series, and I could not be more thrilled with just the guests that are coming on the show. I will tell everybody, I took a nice little break from the summer, frankly, just because I had so many clients. I needed to make sure that they were taken care of first, and now I feel like I'm in a good spot that I can start releasing this new season for you guys to listen to this fall. It has been just a tremendous journey having people go from, you know, I may have emailed people a few years ago and gotten crickets, and now to literally every person who I reach out to saying yes, and the responses and just people telling me how they heard it and how it helped them has just been great. So when I wanted to think about who was I going to start this new season off with, for me, it just naturally ended up being interior designer Gail Davis. A Gail Davis design. Some of you may have already gotten a sneak peek of this listens at the beginning of the month, but I wanted to relaunch it again today with a formal opening. One, because Gail is just such a powerhouse of an interior designer. I love her work, I love her style, and I love her just approach to real talk and in design. For those of you who may not know her podcast, it's called Design Perspectives. And it's a great show, and I want you guys also to tune into it. I'll also have a link, of course, on my website. But I think one of the things I wanted to really get into is just, you know, the point of the Mood Board podcast is really that discussion around the intersection of race, culture, and interior design. And I think Gail does the same thing on her show, which is why I like listening to her episodes. There's so few of us in the industry kind of addressing the less than 5% of the Black community in interior design, the limited number of people of color. And I think both of us are very focused on highlighting people who feel like perhaps they're not seen, and also just letting people know that there are so many people of color actually in the industry to tap into. You know, I always say the well is bottomless. So I thought this was a great conversation with Gail to kick off this new season. I also want you guys to know there are a lot of great episodes that I've already recorded coming down the pipeline. One is with Addie Williams, the general contractor for the Netflix show Hack My Home. If you haven't watched it, please watch it. I mean, I absolutely love the format of seeing a team of people go into a home and just make these transitional spaces in wildly creative ways. It's an emotionally happy show, and so thrilled to get Addie on the show. Then I have interior and prop stylist Rena Cattleson. She is definitely a trailblazer in the industry when it comes to interior styling. I had the pleasure of working with her on my home for Better Homes and Gardens magazine. Thrilled for you guys to hear her approach to really with design and interior styling in particular and where it's going in the future. I have interior designer Beth Diana Smith, someone who's been on my wish list for a long time, and I'm glad our schedules finally aligned for her to come on the show. I have interior designer Hema Prasad. Her work was featured in Architectural Digest in this past March issue, and she has just done some incredible celebrity interiors over the past few years that have just been, you know, they've blown me away, and I want you guys to learn more about her. And then I have Fernando from Duke Renders. Very excited because I think there's a lot of talk about interior design and how much of it is going into the 3D space. I actually started working with his team on a new kitchen that I'm actually working on in January for a client. And I will just say I am very impressed with the results in a very short amount of time. And lastly, we have Natalie Papier from the Magnolia Network show, Artfully Designed. Had an incredible conversation with her. And also talking about season 2 of that show. So these are just the ones that are coming up that are already been recorded. There's more people, but I don't want to say anything until we have them absolutely recorded for you guys. So I hope you are ready to listen and tune in to a new season. Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Mood Board Podcast. I'm so excited to have interior designer Gail Davis on the show today. I'm sure many of you have already listened to her podcast, and if you haven't, we have a problem, and I'll put a link out there. But Gail, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you on today.
Oh my God, thank you for having me. I feel so honored to have landed on your podcast.
So I always do this for everybody. For first-time listeners, what can clients expect from Gail Davis Designs?
Beauty, direct communication, blunt, which apparently I was told like sometimes I'm a little bit too blunt in my delivery. And just for their space to encapsulate them and make them feel loved.
All right, let's get to the next question. I think that's straight to the point. And also, when you guys see Gail's portfolio, you're going to want that bluntness because you're going to get what you want.
Thank you.
So
Thank you.
I wanted to get a little bit into, what about your childhood may have, inspired you to go into a career of interior design? I know that you also were in fashion as well, but what led you to this path?
Burnout from being in fashion, right? And really wanting to do something that I loved, or would enjoy waking up to. And from my childhood, I always say it's from my paternal grandparents, their home was magical for me. They were Southern people that moved up north, during Jim Crow for a better way of life. And my grandparents' house, no matter what time of day you went over to visit or whenever you drop by, it was always welcoming. It was always come in, let me get you a glass of, tea, or let me get you some lemonade. And it just was so inviting.
Yeah, and you wanted to keep that feeling going. And I think the burnout is real. I actually just had Hema on the podcast, and I know you did too. And I think she was talking the same feeling about the fashion industry and just being like, no, gotta
It's
move
a
on.
quick burn. Like you love it for a minute, and then after a while you're like, yo, I cannot keep going at this pace. And just being it, it's a tough industry. It's really a brutal industry. It's beautiful, but there's like a lot of work.
Yes, that we don't, that nobody sees, right? That you think you create a, the person is a brand and it's all the things that go into that, and it's a lot. So let's talk a little bit about your approach to interior design. I feel like I was trying to figure out the right words to describe it. So I feel like there's a lot of mix of texture, color, reflective surfaces, and really that feeling that's luxurious and timeless. What do you feel like is a common thread that you use in your projects to kind of constantly achieve that look? Like, where do you start?
It starts with a feeling, and it always starts with like one piece of fabric, like something, or it's always like one piece of fabric that I become obsessed with, because when I meet with my clients, I listen to what they're saying, and then I'm like, okay, how can I take it to the next level? And whatever pops in my head, like whatever resonates with me, and it doesn't happen immediately all the time. Sometimes it's in the middle of the night, and or sometimes I'll wake up, or sometimes I'll just be out with my dogs walking and playing with them, and then I'll be like, oh my God, that's it. And then I need to go find, I know that fabric that I've been wanting to use, or I know which vendor I need to go to get that, because it just reads of that client and of
Yeah,
that
there is
space.
that usually that thing that you get stuck on. And I think people don't know this. I know, like a lot of us, it's like, oh, you charge by the hour. I'm like, we're thinking about it 24/7.
Like I'm being generous. I could really charge you for all the hours that I'm thinking of it, but
Right, we try to keep it contained.
Yes.
So I thought this was interesting, and I wanted to know a little bit about what was your experience like living, like not living, but working for some big firms like Bunny Williams.
Oh my God, it was what I thought design was. And then when I got there, it was completely turned on its head, because I think you look at design and you think shiny and amazing and great, but there's really this language that I learned while I was there. And it was, toning down the Z Gallery-esque of it and really incorporating like this warmth, like almost like a hug. And definitely like the textures, it was amazing. I worked for both Bunny and David. So it's Parrish Hadley. So she was Mrs. Parrish and he was definitely Albert Hadley. And it was just interesting to understand scale and to see design. Like a lot of people think designers and they think, oh, running to retailers, right? But for me, being there was like an A plus, like flying private all the time, you know? Because there was a lot of customization, and especially even not just like, oh, go to Benjamin Moore. It's like, we got to get Donald Kaufman in here and we need to pick some colors. And he would get in the room and it's like, okay, what, you know, this is the color that we want. And then he would just like mix and mix and mix until we got the exact paint color that we needed. And it was just seeing like there was a science to all of this and not just like grabbing stuff off the shelf and okay, put it together. Yay, it's amazing. No, it wasn't that. It was really a curated internship. And that's what I bring to the table for my clients, a very curated experience.
No, and you see it in your work. We're
Thank you.
seeing it. Let's talk about the kitchen design that was featured in House Beautiful. I mean, we're going to talk about the good and the bad. Y'all can't see Gail's face, but there's a
It
little bit of
almost took me out.
little bit of head throwback, but
Yes.
it's beautiful. It's interesting. It's
Thank
caused a
you.
big stir up in the
Oh
industry.
my God,
Oh my
did
Lord, a kitchen
it?
without an island. Is it possible?
Yeah.
And so I was like, I don't want to get too much into the woods about it. You guys, there's plenty to look at online about it. One, just I think Gail's approach to it. But I wanted to have a larger discussion about kitchens, design in general. Should we be designing spaces for resale value
No.
or for now?
It's so ridiculous to me that you would drain your 401k or save money to do your house when you're leaving it. It's not, I mean, I know realtors always like resale value, but the resale value is when you're living there. You know what I'm saying? Like it's the resale of your soul. It's the resale of like being, feeling like it's a hug. It's so many times I walk into people's homes and you know, they'll have the bubbles and the rings and the jewelry and the vacations and the Maserati and the Rolls Royce and then I walk in and I'm like, what is this? Like, this is how you're living? Like, you don't respect yourself enough to live the lifestyle that you portray when you're on vacation? Like, it's just so weird to me. It's just a concept I don't get. Like, I am so looking forward to the fall, right? Because one, I love my fireplace going 24/7. It really does. But also to like to get that book or to get, you know, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, and just hunker down in one of the comfy chairs or on the sofa or now the island. I mean the banquette in my kitchen and just really like enjoy and like it's my home. There's not like, ma'am, checkout's at noon. You know, like it's my space. And it's such an invite. Like, why would you not want your home to be inviting every day for you?
Also, it's just like it's just too much money. Anybody who's bringing a contractor, and I mean, I'm trying to renovate right now in a sunroom for an office. And I've had like two guys who keep putting in things I don't want. And I told him, I said, look, it's my money. I said, and it's my space. I said, but this is what I'm asking for. Like, I don't really want a giant renovated mudroom. I don't want this bathroom in here. I'm like, I want an office. That's what I want. I'm like, this is my space. And so I feel like a lot of times, too, when you get hired as an interior designer, I've met so many people who get very stuck on what the expectation of what the space should be. To the point that they can't even design it because they go, I don't know what to do. Because if I put the wallpaper up, if I put the paint up, what if it doesn't work? What if I'm going to move? And you go, just try it. Just live with it. You know, you may unwind and find you love it.
Very interesting. I a client's living room I did. It was so funny. Her mother's a realtor, and the people that she bought the house from, when I met with her and I walked into her living room, there were only two lights and they were over the fireplace. And I was like, so is there a Broadway show going on in here at night that I don't know about? And there was no lighting anywhere else. So I did her space, and her mother is anti-wallpaper, and she's a realtor. And she's like, oh, it just dates the house. So I said, your mother's been in the wrong homes. when I did that space over, her mother could not believe
Right.
how it felt and what it was like, and also the dining room, because we're going through the house slowly. And what was funny is the previous owners came back over
Oh.
and they could not believe, because they were coming to pick up this light fixture. She's like, should I throw it out? She's like, let me see if they want it. And she's like, oh yeah, they're going to be in town. They want it. I was like, oh God, it's a god awful light fixture. Give it to them. Like, leave it curbside. They'll pick it up. And the woman came in, and even the neighbors, and they could not believe the transformation of the house. And then they were like, okay, how did this happen? And who is this
Right.
person? And I need to hire them. You got to make your house your own. You
Yes.
got to make, and you got to make it really amazing. And people, when you hire designers, let them do their job. Stop acting like you know, and that you have the eye. If I hear one more person saying, oh, well, my sister has eye, or I have an eye. And I was like, yeah, I have them too, but it's different. It's
It's
just different.
different, and there's a real science, and we're trying to get it done in a timely fashion. I've told
Yes.
people this over and over again. I said, I'm not trying to be here for 10 years with you. I'm trying to get done the next like 3 to 6 months. I'm trying to get your dream list done. So let's talk about this. We're going to get into this one. How do you feel like, Gail, as a Black woman, you've been able to thrive in the interior design industry where we know Black representation is less than 5%? What
Oh
have
my
been some of
God.
the things that have helped you?
Just standing in who I am, and knowing what I bring to the table, knowing that my look is going to be different than any other than white designers that present themselves, that I'm going to really create a space that is livable and, more importantly, joyful, joyful to the senses. It's super important to create a space where there's color. I'm always tickled when I go into a person's house and it's just like all white or cream, and they're like, well, pops of color. I can switch it out with pops of color. I was like, ma'am, you live in this space. White furniture to me means you just need to clean it incessantly. If you have friends and family come over, they can't really relax and enjoy it in it because you're worried about their jeans or whatever they have rubbing off on it. Also, who wants to sit here and spot clean white furniture forever? I just know that I bring variety and I bring class and elegance that's different than others.
Yeah, and you're confident with your game.
I think so. I think so. Thank you. There are days where I'm like, oh, sweet Jesus. But then, I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. But as it all comes together, then I'm like,
Yeah.
ooh, okay, girl, you know what you're doing. Calm down. You got this. You got this.
So let's talk a little bit. Why did you decide to start an interior design podcast?
That would be because of my friend Michael Adams and Courtney McLeod, Right Meets Loud. Who they were we were out to dinner one night, and they're like, you give such great advice. Like, you should do a podcast. I was like, y'all are crazy. A couple of drinks in, I go home and I'm like, Google how to start a podcast. And I was like, all right, and just did it. And also because, we hear so much from white designers. Like, we need to hear from people of color who are in this
Yes.
industry who do it, because it's also something different for us. It's not like we're re related to someone who, has hedge fund people all throughout the
Yes.
family, and then the business is just going to come. Like, we really have to, I'm going to use the word that people don't like, hustle and make it happen. Like, there's a grind with that. And it was just important that I could also represent and reach out to people that normally probably would not be tapped for a podcast, because I always feel like it's the same five people.
Right. I'm like, my podcast is all just that there's an endless well of people of color in design. I'm like, the list of how many people I still want on the show, I'm like, could go on for years. I'm like, tap into all of these people, all of this
Absolutely.
talent. There's plenty.
Absolutely.
So, Gail, my last question for you today is, what's next on the horizon for you?
Oh, yeah, I looked at that question and I was like, I don't know. I don't know. I just know right now that I am focused on my home
Yeah.
and that my house is a show house. So I'm not doing any show houses. I won't be doing any show houses for a while because I just want to want to expend all that energy into my home. And also because, you know, with show houses, you have to rip everything out once you're done. And I'm like, nope, I'm just going to really focus on my home and make it the show house that I need it to be, but also the home that I need it to be for me and my beloved and our three pups.
All right. So for listeners, what is the best way for people to reach out to you if they want to hire you?
Go on to my website and just set up the consultation. Gail Davis Designs. As easy as that. And it's G-A-I-L, people. Please, G-A-I-L.
No problem. And again, I'll have all of those links on my website as well. Gail, thank you so much. That is our interview, and I'm going to stop the recording here. Well, I hope you really enjoyed that conversation. And for me, it always goes back to, I think, the questions that I always say, and I think Gail, you know, said it perfectly, you know, what are we doing with our homes? Are we creating them for the perfect resale value, or do we want to create homes that we can live in and enjoy now? And I think that's a great conversation to kind of open up. So I'm going to have that as a Q&A as well on this episode. And I'd love to hear your feedback on what makes sense for you. So of course, to listen to more episodes, go to angelabelt.com/themoodboardpodcast, as well to go to learn more about Gail. You can see a link to her website as well as a link to her podcast. And of course, check out the shoppable mood board as well. I want to thank everyone for listening. I'm excited. There's a lot more coming. I do want to let people know too, we will even be doing a series come in February for Palm Springs and Modernism Week. So a lot more fun stuff to come on this show. But like I said, we are now starting the fall season, and I am looking forward to you guys listening, sharing, and subscribing. All right, take care. Bye-bye.